Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
And I would like to say right here that one of the mistakes the Negro press makes and has been making has been sitting in your office waiting for the white man to write something about black people in his paper, and then you pick up his paper and rewrite it in your paper. The crime that you commit is, as a Negro reporter, when you rewrite what the white man has said about your own kind, you don't have intelligence enough to separate the truth from the falsehood. And then you wonder why the so-called Negroes refuse to buy the so-called Negro paper. They are tired of seeing you parrot what the white man says about all of the ills and immorality that exists in our community and in our neighborhood. But here in Los Angeles, thanks to Allah, you have a good black newspaper known as the Los Angeles Herald Dispatch. In fact, it's so black that some of you can't even take it. We thank Allah for the Los Angeles Herald Dispatch because of its uncompromising stand on the side of truth and in the struggle against those who have inflicted oppression against our people here for a long time. And I think that no one is more aware of the good work that the Los Angeles Herald Dispatch is doing than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is. It's one of the Los Angeles Herald Dispatch has become one of the most respected and feared black newspapers in North America. In fact, I should say it's one of the only black newspapers in North America because most of the others have allowed themselves to fall under the control of the white man. I know that there may be some representatives here from the local Negro press, and I'm not biting my tongue in what I say, because anyone can pick up your paper and tell by its content that you're not writing to please black people, you're writing to please white people. Well, black people are tired of that. The black bourgeoisie, who has a long time been able to read and write, they don't buy your paper anyway. They don't want to be seen with it because they have become too white-minded. So you've wasted your time trying to write to please them, and the black masses whom you should be trying to please and who would buy your paper, they are fed up with your misrepresenting them, not only to the local public, but to the public all over the world today. I hope that's understood. I don't know how we got on that, but...
The cows. Gus T. Renegade, in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Saturday, September 23rd, 2019, so I have been told. One major omission that we are on the Cal's 10-year anniversary yoga retreat live in Druryville, Virginia. One major omission. The Cal's 10-year anniversary is on February 21. That was day one of our retreat. That is the day Minister Malcolm X was assassinated. That is deliberate that our anniversary is on that date, and definitely wanted greater emphasis, importance placed on that. Try to correct errors as we go. One additional side note. One lesson I think I've shared over the retreat, at least something that's been an important lesson for me. Sometimes it can be very different in terms of knowing something, understanding something, and then implementing that understanding. That can be a very different thing. Understanding racism, white supremacy certainly was that way for me. Also, saying that the compensatory call-in, the time for this program is 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. I have been saying that for the past 7 years that we've had the compensatory call-in. I have been on West Coast time for all of those broadcasts. This is the first time I have been on East Coast time for this program. Wow, it is a substantial difference. Experiencing that this program comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern. In fact, my brain was so ill-equipped to conceive of this program starting at 9 p.m. on the schedule for the retreat. I have the compensatory call-in at 6 p.m. Whew. Needless to say, if Gus lived on the East Coast, this broadcast would not come on at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. But be that as it may, here we are, compensatory call-in. This is not as normal. The typical format would be we would do approximately an hour, maybe a little more, of news reports from the previous 7 days about what has taken place around the world, incidents of white terrorism, just analyzing with a counter-racist perspective what has gone on. Dr. Welsing really advocated, pay attention to racism, white supremacy, local, national, global system. Dick Gregory, she also talked about Dick Gregory consistently checking the news. That's normally what we would do, the first portion of the compensatory call-in. That is not what we are doing on this broadcast. Our 10-year anniversary, we had our 10-year anniversary yoga retreat here at the Nat Turner Library, Mr. H.K. Khalifa's property, Druryville, Virginia. We've been here since Thursday afternoon. I was here a little bit earlier, but wow. It has been an adventure, and as opposed to me chatting about what has taken place, my thoughts on the past few days, all of the folks who participated, except one, we are missing one person. Unfortunately, the location, or number one, I'll take responsibility for that, in not having provided directions. I was given a great suggestion, Google Earth. Anybody, if you are planning an event, you're going to do some coordinating, you got to check on a site, and it seems like the location might be obscure. Google Earth, you can check it out, will help you not be confused. You'll get precise details on where you are going, even in the most remote locations. That'll be for next time. Google Earth, and you can check it out yourself. If you already knew, right on. I'm a victim. Didn't know, but unfortunately, one of the victims, folks who were supposed to be with us could not locate where we were at. And we had really bad weather. That is the other part. Unfortunately, I have still not mastered the art of controlling the weather. It has been raining pretty consistently in this area. Even before we got here, it had been raining, which did make it a bit more cumbersome. Buddy, they can tell you better than I. That has made things tremendously more cumbersome. And just for this one person who was supposed to be coming, that made it really difficult. She hadn't been in this area before. Neither had I. And she just wasn't able to find the location. Decided to just turn back and go home. I felt really bad about that. Take full responsibility. Just a lot of fun. And she couldn't get cell service. That was the other part, because we did have the number there in case, you know, you can't find it to call in. That was there, but she couldn't get cell service. In fact, she had to drive back out to get cell service to be able to contact us to even say, you know, I can't find the location. And was just we should have had one more. That being said, all of the listeners that signed up to participate in the retreat, everyone except the one that we missed, was able to get here. I want to say safely, but I feel like I have to put that in quotations. Again, they can give you better details than I, but they are here. I think everyone is safe and sound. No injuries that I've heard, and no one has starved. I did have a lot of concerns. Maybe I'll share that later on in the broadcast. I did have a lot of concerns about many, many things. Mud was not on my list. That being said, food was. I had said pretty consistently that this was going to be a plant-based retreat. And I didn't expect that, you know, we had everybody listening to the program was vegan. That was not my understanding. So I thought some people might be missing out on foods that they are accustomed to eating. And so I didn't know how that would be received. I also didn't know how the yoga would be received. I was nervous about many things. Again, mud was not one. That being said, all except one, Gus's negligence, all except one of the folks who signed up for the retreat, they are here with us. So we will take the first 75 minutes, we'll say. Because I said the normal format is 5 minutes. And I mean, I don't know what they'll have to say about the constructive value of the past 3 days and whether it has been worth their time. That's one question. I told them I really wasn't going to say a format, to just reflect on how they've spent their time and energy the past 3 days, and they can share. Has it been worthy of your time and energy? Because that's something that I say consistently. We have problems. White people are waging war against non-white people worldwide, black people against black people intensely. If that is the case, and I solely believe it is, I've said that for 10 years, we cannot waste time. So that would be number one. Has this been a constructive investment of your time and energy? Make sure that question gets answered somewhere in your responses. But all of the folks who are with us, they should be available to chime in. I will open up their line and everybody can take 5 minutes. Make sure you answer that one question, and then you can share about the time that we've been here since Thursday, whatever you think has been important. And don't be skimpy. You can take your full 5 minutes if you know you should need 5 minutes and 30 seconds even to get out whatever it is you need to say. Feel free to take 5 minutes and 30 seconds. So let's see. I reckon if you can press *61, so that way I'll know which line to open, that would be grand. I guess if worse comes to worse, I can get up and ask which line is yours. But let's see if I can be lazy and Okay, let's see. Do we have our participants at the COWS 2019 10-year anniversary yoga retreat?
Hello, this is B. Diddy from Houston. I am a 2.5-year COWS listener. and am very happy to be here at the 10-year Cal's Yoga Retreat. For those who did not make the retreat, I have to say that you missed out on a lot. You missed out on great yoga classes. You missed out on great plant-based vegan meals. You missed out on interacting with some very, very special people. And as Gus mentioned, you also missed out on some great activities like getting your car pulled out of mud. I am one of the very special ones who had their vehicle stuck in the mud. And there's no other way I can think of spending the weekend or at a yoga retreat getting my car dug out of the mud with some very special guy. The food here was actually really, really good. I was hoping to lose some weight, so I fattened up before I got here, and I think I've gained more pounds being here eating the food than I did before I got here. The yoga classes were really great. They really helped me breathe better. I felt more relaxed after the classes. After every session, I felt like I wanted to go to sleep. So I think it's something worth putting my time, energy, and money into. I'm definitely going to look into doing that on a regular basis, probably at night, if I could find yoga classes at night, because, again, I felt very sleepy. And I would suggest or recommend that those who are probably taking some type of prescription pill or something to help them go to sleep, whatever your method is, if it's not healthy, that this could be a great healthy alternative. So I'm looking to doing that. My ultimate goal objective coming here was to engage and interact with some people, some like-minded individuals who are serious about racism, interested in the interest of Black people, interested in at least having a discussion on racism, and I can honestly say that was achieved this weekend. My hope is that we all can stay in touch with one another and keep up with one another and continue to share our realities with one another with the hopes of expanding that to a broader group so that we can solve the number one problem in this world, and that is ending the system of racism and replacing it with justice. Hopefully Gus will put something together like this pretty soon. Hopefully we don't have to wait another year because it was very refreshing. It was very peaceful and satisfying, and we need more events like this, more organizations like this around the world in every state, but this is just the start. So again, I had an excellent time. Hopefully I can meet some of Cal's listeners in the future. And that's all I have to say, really. But I'll wrap that up and pass on to the next person.
So I guess I'm the next person in line. I guess I'll be called the Black African. I really enjoyed myself here. Came to sort of like start a healthy lifestyle, like, but on a positive note, not like because I was sick or something like that. So this was helpful. The yoga is really great. Gus is really great at yoga. There's a lot of breathing, which I didn't know was helpful, but that was really great. What else? The food's amazing. I didn't think that I was going to even try to be a vegan, but I think I'm going to give it a shot. What else? The conversations have been really constructive. I've learned a lot. No one has fought. No one has argued. No one has wobbled. I guess that's the term. So it's been really a great couple of days. Like, I've never felt so relaxed. I don't remember feeling this relaxed in a really, really long time. So it was really helpful. Another thing that I guess Gus and B. Diddy talked about was the mud, and that was really great because we just it wasn't just one car, it was multiple cars, but guys just went out and we just kept pulling cars out, Some would go back in and we'd pull them back out. So it was a really great experience. Yeah, I would recommend when this that you attend. I think you'll like it. I think you'll enjoy Gus. I think you'll enjoy the listeners. I think you'll enjoy the yoga. Everything is very professional. Thank you.
Hello, this is a black female from Georgia. I was quite shocked. Well, first, I met Gus, so that was really exciting. I knew it was Gus when I heard his voice. It was interesting meeting other Cal listeners and having constructive engagement with them. The food, I was really nervous about. I really didn't think I was going to eat it. But I was surprised. It was well seasoned. I shocked. I had a carrot hot dog. I took a picture of that to send back home. But I actually enjoyed the food, the yoga. I've taken yoga classes before, so it was nice doing it with everybody else. It was refreshing, and it did. We did yoga every morning and also at night, so twice a day. And the one at night, as the previous listener said, it did make you where you were able to sleep better. What else can I say? I just enjoyed being with everybody, you know, meeting. People meeting the voices that you hear on the call, that was something I enjoyed. I guess that's it.
Hello, this is Young Academic from Connecticut. I'm calling because I had a phenomenal time here around like-minded people for the weekend, a lot of support. I did yoga, something I never tried before, something I'm probably going to continue after I leave here. It's a phenomenal time. So if you missed out on your opportunity to attend, I suggest that the next one Gus throws, you get down here because it's awesome.
All right. I am, yes, another yoga retreat participant. And for some reason, my wife said not to say where we came from, so I will respect that. It is perfectly fine. We are from the state of South Carolina. She told me to say that. Okay. All right. Anyway, this has been a very interesting experience. This is me and my wife's second yoga retreat. And the first one was okay. And this one over this past weekend has been absolutely superb. One of the things I said to Gus about the first yoga retreat was that outside of the physical activity of the retreat, some of the things that were being said during that retreat, I personally had a hard time relating to. So, for example, I remember the person who was teaching the class saying something along the lines of there was no such thing of a lack, no such thing as a lack of resources, just a lack of resourcefulness. Now, me personally, as a black person, I don't really feel that applies to my life. In fact, most black people that I meet, if they have a lack of resources, because someone probably stole it from them to begin with. And for this particular yoga retreat, you know, because Gus understands black people, he was able to make a yoga retreat when he was speaking, actually make it apply to the people in the room. And even if you're not a big yoga person, the way Gus goes about teaching his class will make you, if, like I said, you're not a yoga person, at least interact and feel like you're having a good time in the class. And, of course, you get the health benefit of participating in the yoga class as well, too. And, of course, meeting Gus and Smith has been a very interesting experience as well, too. I will also say about the getting stuck in the mud thing. My car was also one of the cars that got stuck in the mud. That started from a situation where the one person who was missing from the event had the yoga mats, and because she didn't make it, we had to go out and get more yoga mats. And when the first person spoke, it wasn't maybe B. Diddy, we hopped in his car first, quickly found that his car was going nowhere. We hopped in my car and found that it was also going nowhere. And then someone's car, who were sure their car was not stuck, they were able to go and go to Walmart and get some yoga mats. And me, from there, I said, get some cat litter so we could potentially get these cars out of the mud. And I'm happy to say that that particular plan worked. What can I say about the food? Me personally, I am not a vegan, but I personally have been transitioning the way I eat. And I was personally pleasantly surprised by the food that was served here this evening. I was having a conversation with Emhan DC, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. We were having a side conversation, and I said to him, I am one of the fattest skinny people you'll ever meet, because I eat a lot. Even at this size, you'd be hard to tell, though. I work out a lot, too. but the food has been absolutely amazing. You know, I'm not one of these people that'll tell you that you need to be a vegan. But I'm happy to say that even though the meals here were vegan, they were plant-based, the food didn't try to tell you to be vegan. It told you that it tasted good. And if people are going to have to or choose to engage to be a person who eats food that is plant-based, or vegan, I think it's not a ridiculous request that the food at least tastes good. And that is all I have to say for now. Thank you.
Kitty litter. Genius kitty litter.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Basti from South Carolina. Yes, cat litter. There are like 12 cats outside, and every time the door is open, they try to get in. It's very nice and warm and toasty in here, and out there it's cold and rainy and wet, and they try to seize every opportunity to come on inside. I had to take one out one time. First and foremost, my friends that I have in South Carolina, my goal friends, they tell me, "Yeah, you are black." For no reason. And which is funny. They're like, why? You're just black for no reason. Whatever. Stop laughing. Okay, we got somebody falling out over here. I said the wrong thing. But anyways, so a common theme among all of us was that it's good to be among other black people. To be doing yoga with black people. You always go to yoga classes or yoga workshops, and I'm the only one here, or I'm one of the few. You got to do the head nod, make sure that the others are on code. But it's black people. We're here with black people, and we're having intellectual conversations, and that is something that I've greatly missed at home, you know, having this dialogue with black people. And also, we are on sacred ground. We are where the Nat Turner Library, but it's
Nat Turner Trail.
We are near the Nat Turner Trail. And so this place has great history. And we've slept in a library, which is just amazing. So there's books everywhere. There's books by black authors, you know, just different genres. And just everything, knowledge everywhere. And that in itself is incredible. And I just kept going to the shelves and kept grabbing books, reading the covers, started reading a couple of pages, flipping through it. I actually finished the book while I was here, which was a great accomplishment. Finished it one day. But yeah, my husband said we've gone to a yoga retreat, and this is just different. This is just different entirely, you know, focused on health and wellness. And to all listeners, like, your health matters. Like, your health impacts your family, it impacts your friends. And if you're not well, if you're not taking care of yourself, then other people are worried about you. So if you can incorporate plant-based diet and trying to be more conscious about the nutrition that you are putting into your body and water intake, which was heavily emphasized since we've been here, and getting enough rest, definitely do that. As well as, you know, some sort of exercise where you're focusing on your breath, because if somebody takes away your breath, you're gone. You're done. So this experience, hopefully there will be another yoga retreat to celebrate the 10th year anniversary. We are trying to find places for West Coast listeners or people who are willing to travel to the West Coast. So stay tuned and keep listening, because we did libations today for the ancestors. And just remember that you are one of the ancestors. You will be an ancestor, so make your impact.
Hello, everybody. This is the caller slash listener slash now yoga participant from Virginia. So I'm the only one from Virginia here. And since I know a little
bit, I was born in Virginia. Thank you.
Who currently lives in Virginia. Sorry, Gus. I know a little bit about the land, so I did bring my rain boots. So the mud did not affect me and my boots. But it's been great being here with everyone. Really nice meeting everyone and connecting the voices and the names and the handles like Imhan DC to these actual people. It's been really great. Meeting Gus has just been really wonderful. What can I say? Where should I start? I came in Friday, yesterday morning, because I had something to do for work on Thursday night, so I wasn't able to be here Thursday night, but I came in Friday. I didn't have any trouble finding it. But then again, I kind of know roads like this, so maybe that's why I didn't have trouble finding it. But when I came in, I met B. Diddy from Houston. He opened the door for me. And then right away, you know, just met people and started talking to everybody. And it was fun. It's been really a wonderful experience. I don't know how to express how grateful I am to be here. This is a retreat, so it felt like a retreat for me. This is not a hotel, of course, you know, so, and that's okay. I mean, we're at a place where, you know, we're secluded and, you know, we've had to work together, and I think that's been really wonderful. Everybody's been very courteous. We had to share space, share bathrooms, you know, wait in line, be patient with each other, and I think that's been wonderful because we've all kind of got along. I just want to shout out the hostesses in the kitchen who've been really wonderful preparing our meals for us. I've been doing the yoga, kind of working through some back pain, and one of the hostesses made a special tea for me, which I just thought was really sweet of her. You know, I was asking for some Advil. She was like, oh, no, we have some natural remedies. So she made the tea for me, and I sat in the kitchen and talked with them. And this has just been a heartwarming experience, you know, when you're around your own people and you just feel comfortable right away. And you're not, you know, feeling on edge like how we feel every day when we're around white people. I haven't felt that way at all. I've just felt comfortable the moment I walked into the house and drove up the driveway. This morning, even though it was raining and 43 degrees, I put my coat on and my boots and took my umbrella and ventured out and took a nice little walk. And that was really peaceful and relaxing, too. So it's just been great. We've had time alone. We've had time with each other. The workshops have been really wonderful. Hearing Gus talk about the history of the cows was very meaningful, to just kind of hear how he expresses himself in person. He says right on. He puts the thumbs up. He's always giving us the thumbs up to make sure we're okay. And it's just really sweet and special to, you know, get his energy just in person and to hear and connect. What he's been doing for the past 10 years with us being here today. So it's just been wonderful. I've enjoyed it. I don't know if I would make it to the West Coast if they did this retreat again, but I recommend the retreat to anyone who has the opportunity to come. I felt like I had to come because it was only an hour and a little bit away from where I live. So I was not going to let Coon Man stand in my way. So this has just been a great experience. Who knew that yoga and white supremacy were connected somehow? But I love Gus's mantra at the end of his, he says, I yoga because I'm trying to replace racism with justice. Yes, that, so Gus, you'll have to correct me your exact thing at the end of what you say. But I like that because I think that's a really good way to look at why you're doing anything. You know, we're doing this to produce justice, even in our own bodies. And I think that's really powerful. So thank you, Gus, for this amazing opportunity. And thank you, everybody who's here in the room that I'm looking at. You guys are all really awesome. And I definitely hope we all stay in touch.
Look, just one more thing. I thought this was so important. We were talking this morning and you were talking about food in terms of plant-based eating and exercise as protest in relation to what you see. Like, if I could make a request, if you could share that, because I thought that was supremely important.
Oh, okay. We were talking a little bit about, I think we started talking about marching and how marching and doing things like, you know, what people had done for protests in the past is a little bit ineffective. We were talking about monuments and how people would, you know, try to tear down the monuments and, you know, some Confederate monument somewhere, put an X on it. And so we kind of bridged the gap and said, hey, you know, that kind of is not effective. It's not working. And so what I shared with Gus is that I feel, my personal belief, is that we can protest. I can protest by being healthy, by not eating the foods that they give us. That's my protest. I'm not going to eat the KFC Cheeto chicken thing. That's my protest. I'm going to eat well. I'm not going to, you know, allow myself to be out of control, unhealthy. That's my protest. I'm not going to allow myself to be a victim of the food that they want us to eat and a victim of the lack of activity that they want us to participate in. So Gus kind of stopped. He's like, okay, I like that. So yeah, we take care of ourselves as protest. This is my personal protest against white supremacy. I'm going to take care of myself so I can take care of my kids, so I can be here for my grandkids to impart wisdom to them throughout my life. And so every single day, it's a more effective way for me to protest white supremacy. You know, it's not effective for me to go try to tear down a monument, but every single day I could eat something right. And every single day I could take care of my body through working out, exercise, yoga, whatever I do. So thank you for asking me to share that. I kind of talked long this morning and I don't want to talk anymore right now.
Greetings, everyone. I'm a young Black African girl. I'm actually really nervous because this is my first call-in. I'm probably the youngest person in the group here. Yeah, definitely, actually, the youngest person in the group by far. So this has been a very fulfilling experience for me personally. I came here because I wanted to learn more about white supremacy racism because I'm sort of new to this whole concept system. So it's been very interesting talking and meeting everyone because I'm sitting in a room of very influential people who have a lot of constructive things to say and contribute. And that has changed my outlook on a lot of things. The food has been amazing, plant-based food. I never thought that I would spend even 2 days straight eating plant food from morning to evening. That is just bizarre. And actually enjoying every single meal that's on my plate, even going for second serving. It's like, wow. so it's been an amazing weekend so far at this retreat, and meeting Gus was also amazing too. the yoga. That is, it was definitely my first time doing yoga, and I loved it. And yeah, thank you.
Greetings. This is Amandi C. So I'm here at the yoga retreat, and I came here for a few reasons. One big reason is because I wanted to meet Mr. Gus, and when I did, I was very happy. It might sound a little weird, but it's not weird. I was just really happy to meet him. I think he's a very important person. I think he's one of the most constructive speakers, and that he will help solve this problem. I'm just not trying to be, I'm just trying to be very straightforward. I also came here in order to be around people who want to end white supremacy, around Black people. I met a lot of very nice people, a lot of very beautiful people. I'm glad I got to meet all of you and spend the time that I did with all of you. There were a few points where there was some crying. I shed a tear or four. And the food was good. The host, both of them, has been very gracious. I have to race the little one. He wanted to race me. He went, and it's been raining all this time. I was like, well, you know, it's still raining, and it's really muddy. But we went ahead and we raced. That was interesting. That was good. Good exercise. The yoga practices was very nice. I'm able to reach my right hand and scratch this part of my back that I couldn't scratch. For real, because I couldn't get it. And now I can, because I was able to do one of the stretches. So that's really good. And I'm going to take back a lot of these practices and help my father recover from his stroke. So had a good time.
Hi, this is Mrs. Tien, the yoga retreat. When I first decided to come to the yoga retreat, you know, Gus was talking about yoga and plant-based meals and everything. And with being my family, I was, like, so excited. I didn't, you know, tell him about anything. The only thing I was, like, excited about was I was going to meet Gus. I was like, oh, my God, I get to meet Gus. So I was very excited to meet Gus. The retreat has been like a grown folk slumber party. So we've been hanging out, having fun. The first night in, we did light yoga. We stayed up to like 2:30 in the morning just talking about racism, white supremacy. The next night, we had the yoga class. The morning yoga class is like, really sweaty. Gus worked us out really good. So that night we went to bed early because we were really tired. I guess it's a slumber party. We're hanging out, you know, having fun. Everybody's talking about their favorite subject, racism, white supremacy. Eating plant-based food, hanging out. It was awesome, Gus. Thank you. And to Mr. Khalifa and his family, I appreciate him extending the opportunity for the grown folks' slumber party.
Hi, this is Crystal Healy from North Carolina, and I am a first-time caller, and I'm here because for several reasons, but I would like to say that I am here because I started off my year making a vision board with my family, and on my vision board, I had a picture of a Black woman doing yoga. And I visualized myself doing yoga in a room with Black people when I did that vision board. And that was just in the beginning of the year. And here we are now in February, and my vision has come true. And I believe in synchronicity, and I believe that things happen for a reason, and I know I'm here for a reason. And I'm just so very thankful that Dust has put this together here on Nat Turner's lab, Mr. Khalifa's home. And I'm having a wonderful time with everybody, and I'm learning so much about just how we are all looking to end white supremacy and just growing together and just finding out more about each other. And I really appreciate the energy that I'm feeling when I'm around everyone. It's truly a different feeling doing yoga in a room full of Black people. I have never had the chance to do that. It is a different type of energy that you get. And I highly recommend if Gus does this again, to do it again, to do it, because it is, it's spiritual, it's healing, it's more than I could have ever imagined. So I'm just so very thankful. And the food was amazing. And yeah, we had some pickups along the way, but you know, like we roll with it, so it's all good. All right.
Greetings. This is Miss Quick from North Carolina. I was one of the ones that was stuck in the mud Thursday from about 2 until 11. 2 p.m. until 11 p.m. But Black Elvis was able to come out and get it out of the mud. It's amazing. I love being around like-minded people because I don't have that where I live. Food was amazing. It's just a great big sleepover, and I hope to do it again before 2020 if possible.
Hello, this is KD from Georgia. I'm not a big talker, so I'm going to make this short. we've had a good time here while I've been here. Came up from Georgia, about a 9-hour drive. Well, like you said, the weather has been kind of dreary, but we have managed to have a good time still. Able to find some very interesting books while we've been here at Mr. Khalifa's library. Like I said, I am a meat eater, and I'm not a vegan, but I have found the food very tasty and interesting to sample. I am a long-time listener, maybe I've called in a couple times, but it's good to meet Gus finally, and as everyone else said, some faces with the voices that we have listened to over the years. But I just want to take away that it's good, like everyone else said, it's good to speak to like-minded individuals that's trying to replace the system with the justice that we're under right now. And that's all I have.
All right, Gus, everyone has had a chance to speak, so if you want to give some additional remarks or open up the phone lines for questions, we're ready.
Awesome. Let's see. I think, Rhett, before I proceed, again, there should have been one more person. Red in Nevada, much obliged. She did a hefty amount of work to help coordinate the event. I think I talked to her before I flew out of Seattle, and I said, if there are no fisticuffs and we all end and we're still on speaking terms, you'll be able to take a bow and say they would not have been able to pull it off without me. And it will be true. Much obliged. Princess. Wow. Take a bow. Another one. It would not have been possible. it would take a long time for me to share like the adventure that it was to get. I can only say I hate Atlanta. The retreat will never, ever, ever, ever be in Atlanta. Not even close. No way in the world. It was horrid. It was absolutely horrid. I can't even go into detail about the experience getting from Seattle to the Nat Turner Library. Maybe another day. Let's see. But Princess, wow. Would not have been possible. Not only did she invest and contribute to the retreat in the horrendous experience that it was getting from Seattle through Atlanta to the retreat. I was totally stuck and not sure what was going to happen. And Princess saved the day. She lives in VA, formerly in Florida, now in VA. She saved the day and was able to scoop Gus up from the airport. So huge, huge gratitude to Princess. Red in Nevada, she said, so folks said being able to actually meet Gus, who is not a public person. I think I gave that disclaimer very early on at the retreat that I am not accustomed to being around this many people at all. But Red said, so what was the experience actually seeing Gus in person, and did it match what you expected to see, or just what was that like? I guess if folks want to give a turn with responding to that question from Red.
So this is B. Diddy from Houston. And since I've been listening to the cows, I've actually been trying to Google Gus. And I've been trying to look for him everywhere, and I get several pictures. And there was one picture that I got. It was a very dark-skinned guy, and he's hugging Dr. Welsing. And I'm like, that has to be him because he has on the shirt, treat me like I'm a white person. So I'm like, that has to be Gus. But that's the only picture that I could find of the person. So I thought Gus was this, I don't know, this 6'4", very dark-skinned guy, bearded. And that's not what he was when I saw him. When I came in, he greeted me, and I recognized the voice instantly. Like, he sounds in person the same way he sounds on the show. And I was like, you're Gus? And I was a little shell-shocked because he just didn't look like I thought he would look. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, he's a nice-looking guy. But again, I just had a different image. Does anyone else have?
I don't know if I had, like, an image of what Gus would look like. The only thing I had to base that off of was an image that Horatio put up. Like a little cartoon of Gus, like with locks and like a red, yellow, and green beanie. So I didn't know. I didn't know. So I'm not going to comment like on looks or anything. I mean, he looks great. He looks great. But one thing that I want to attest to is like how humble he is. Like it was the very first night and we had all finished eating. And we had these plates in our hand, plates on the ground, you know, just trash. We just had trash. We didn't know what to do with it. So we were holding on to it. And in my mind, I was like, I should pick up these plates. But somebody was talking. I think Mr. Khalifa was talking. I was like, okay, I'll just wait. Sure enough, Gus gets up and he goes around the whole room and picks up all the plates. And I was just like, wow, this person organized the event and he's humble enough to serve. And so that's what I want to share with listeners. This dude is amazing. And yes, he does. He has a great radio voice. It was just, and the story was just incredible. And we asked him, was there a point where he wanted to quit the cows? Like, we wouldn't be here 10 years if he wasn't persistent. And he picked it up and defied all odds and opposition. I was trying to shut it down. So that's what I wanted to attest to, his character. Man.
I also thought Gus might have dreadlocks. But I was wrong. Gus is really cool in person, really cool in person. Gus is a curmudgeon, self-admitted, but he's very warm and personable. I kind of thought he would be maybe more standoffish, but he's not. He's really cool. I mean, he let everybody speak to him, and he doesn't interrupt, and he takes time and listens to the same way he is on the air. He is in person. You know, he's very intentional. You can tell he's intentional. He's not, overbearing in any kind of like gregarious way. You know, you would think that he's this personality, but he's totally cool in person. You know, so I'm very glad that I got to meet him. And I asked him about the Gus T. Renegade name, and he told us that story. So that was really neat too. So just really open and honest and sharing and humble is a great word. And very smart. I mean, Gus just remembers all kinds of things. He was just going through the 10 years and, has dates and years and can remember all these, guests that he's had and all the books and all. That's all very impressive to me and, to just learn about him and then to see all of this in action. The yoga, watching him do yoga and to know that he's actually come a long way with that, that he calls himself Tubby. He was formerly Tubby, I guess, and he's very slim. And strong and able to do these crazy poses. I mean, these poses that he showed us. So that was just really remarkable. You would think that this is something he's been doing all his life, so that was cool. And hearing him talk about his consistency in doing the program and then to just see this live person, walking around, it's like, wow, he really is going to be a legend, for a long time. So definitely lived up to some expectations, but some things I was pretty surprised about, like not having dreadlocks, because I thought he would have dreadlocks. Did you ever have dreadlocks, Gus?
Yes, ma'am.
See, there, I knew it didn't come from anywhere. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so me and Thomason from New York was talking about, now, what does Gus look like? And I was like, now, what if he's a white guy? And none of us know it. And what if, just like that movie, he pulls off this mask from his dreads and it's a white guy? And I was like, I know that's not going to happen. I know that's not the case. However, it's just, what if? I've never seen him. But I got to see him, so. But, that's not the case. He's totally a black guy. That's excellent. That's excellent. So, yeah. I was going to add something what Imhan DC just said about a white guy. One of the things that I think everyone here was worried about was that, we don't know the faces of the people who are going to show up to this event. And the big question for us was, is a white person going to show up? I'm happy to say a white person did not show up, but we did talk about what would happen if a white person didn't show up. Gus, would you refund everyone their money and everyone just simply go home? Or would we vote off the island the white person? But that didn't happen, so I guess it doesn't matter. I guess we'll never know what would have happened if a white person would have showed up. I think we're all done talking here on this side.
Awesome. We had Cal's 10-year anniversary yoga retreat t-shirts. They are very different from the please treat me - please respect me like I am a white person. Is that a shirt that you can wear in public, the retreat shirt? Yay or nay?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a shirt you can actually wear?
Oh, I'm sorry. For the most part, people around the room said yes.
Oh, okay, right on.
No one said no.
Okay. We do have a limited number, and I do mean limited. I think I explained this years ago, that I did not want to do the counter-racist t-shirt, the please treat me like a white person. I didn't want to do that. That really took a lot of convincing. And so this one I did, and I didn't even have to be involved with that. Like, all I had to do was tell people about it. And, you know, Dr. Trav took it from there. This, I had to do everything, like the ordering and getting the design. HipHopCartoons.ca, phenomenal work. Whoopi, the shirt, in my view, they look great. But I had to do the work. So I was not going to be trying to order 50 and, you know, do all of that. I'm not trying to get in the merchandise garment industry. So there are a limited number. People did already email me. I think I mentioned this last week. People did already email me. If you are interested in a shirt, let me know. They are $35 plus $3 for shipping. So it'd be a total of 38 if you are interested in a t-shirt. I'm just going to go. And if you already emailed, you are good. You do not need to email again. I have you. I'm just going to go in order of what I have. And when I run out, that is it. But feel free to email. I'm just going to go in order. First come, first serve. The first people that email, you will have first dibs on the sizes and what have you. And I'll let people know as long as I have the limited number of shirts that I have. Let's see. Did I have one? Anything else I wanted to ask? I guess this will be a vote on the yoga. So again, this is the first time that the Cows has ever aired on the East Coast. 3-hour time difference. Wow, it is substantial. So this will end, as it normally does, at midnight. So the itinerary that I made is bogus because I was thinking 6 p.m. compensatory call-in. That's what time it always comes on. So if we're going to do yoga, it will have to be sometime after midnight. So this will be our vote now. So are we doing a light yoga session? I guess it could be abbreviated. Maybe we could do like 45, or we could even do 60 minutes. I mean, it's Saturday. We could do a light yoga session after the program, or we could not do it. Folks could get their rest and we could get up and do our yoga in the morning. Yoga this evening or no?
I'm perfectly okay with this. All right. We are all in agreement. We are okay with doing a little bit of yoga after the compensatory call in.
No lollygagging this evening. We will end promptly at midnight so that we can get to the yoga. I'm so happy to hear that because that also, like, I had four things that were major concerns going into the. I had many concerns, many, many concerns, but I had like four or five things that were very high on the list. Fisticuffs was one. That has not been a problem. The yoga, that was a big one. Thus far, that has not been a problem. The food, that was an enormous one. Thus far, that has been grand. And the recipes, I think, are available. Mr. Khalifa's daughters have been amazing with the cuisine. They have books that are available. I will post links. And some of the very recipes for things that we have enjoyed over the past 3 days or so are available in their cookbooks. All plant-based, has been very tasty and filling. It's not like, I don't think anybody here has been starved over the time that we're here. I told them, I thought, you know, folks might be running off to McDonald's or something for a cheeseburger. Like, I, you know, thought I did not want people to be grumpy about the food or feeling like they're not, you know, being satiated during meals. So it has been very pleasing that has worked out, as with the yoga.
I'll share this. The experience with the mud. Wow. Like, talk about disaster. I think I told everyone here that if I had arrived at a yoga retreat and my vehicle was stuck in the mud, and I think Miss Quick, I think she even, you know, minimized greatly. I think her vehicle was not just stuck in the mud. I think her vehicle was stuck in the mud from 2 p.m. till 11 p.m. and it had a flat tire. If that had been me, there would have been some cursing and name calling. Quite a bit of cursing and name calling, probably. There was none of that. We had, as was stated, multiple vehicles. We even had one vehicle that was stuck twice. Gusty had some of the blame in that. No cursing at all. No name calling. In fact, witnessing a group of black males collectively get these cars out of the mud repeatedly. No name calling. No grousing. No griping. Mud got on people's clothing. That's the sort of thing. Might have been a cursing. I'm not sure how I would have felt about that. No one groused. No one griped. We got all the vehicles out, so we thought. Another vehicle stuck in the mud. Gusty did have some of the blame in that. No one groused. It was immediate problem solving. It was, wow. I mean, it was quite an illustration of counter-racism in black people solving problems. Solving problems. That's always. Mr. Fuller, I think, has many, many audio sessions where he has talked about black people. Every time you see another black person, it is for a constructive purpose. Every time black people are together, it is about solving problems. Something that basic. Why? I think I'd said earlier, that is one of the most impressive. I think that will stand out. That is one of the things that will stand out most for me for the weekend, witnessing that. And wow, just black people solving problems. The number, and we were aware of what happened with R. Kelly. We would normally do news, so something would have been said about R. Kelly and Robert Kraft, and that didn't really dominate the topic of discussion. We did spend some time talking about R. Kelly, but that wasn't a major point of conversation over the past few days, or what happened with Robert Kraft. I said, you all will kind of have to update us about what has happened, because on a retreat, you don't get to sit around and watch CNN. There was TV here, but we did not watch any television at all. Dr. Welsing would have been so proud. So you all will kind of have to let us know about things that happened that are of importance of this week. I think the only things that we discussed and talked about are R. Kelly, Robert Kraft. Those two things we know. Listeners, you can catch us up on what happened over the past week, and we can share a thought on that. Certainly, you can ask about the retreat. I told Red in Nevada, and I told everyone who is present, that if this worked out where we didn't, you know, have problems and people felt it was worthy of their time and energy, that we could look at having a location on the West Coast, because there were listeners on the West Coast and listeners in the UK who wanted to be a part of the retreat. It is very difficult to find a black-owned property such as Mr. Khalifa's here in Druryville. It is very challenging. So if people would like to participate in such an event, that would be your assignment, to work on finding a location that is black owned, because I asked people here. They said, hey, Gus, you wanted to have the retreat in Seattle. I certainly did. What would it take to have it there? And I said, I don't know, because it seems very difficult to find a black owned property that could house 15 people or so. I said, you know, would you all be willing to attend a retreat if it was at an Asian owned property, so-called Asian? And I think almost everyone said they would feel some type of way about it, put that in quotes. So it's very challenging. Seattle might not be tenable. At least that might be more difficult. I think California, that seems like there should be something very probable that would suit our needs. So if people are looking for an assignment, if this is something that you would like to participate in, I know there were people who reside on the West Coast who contacted me. Get to work. See if you can locate a black Airbnb, black property owner who would be willing to have us on their property for 4 days or so, 4 days, 3 nights, something like that on the West Coast. And then you can look anywhere. We're not restricted. We're not limited to the West Coast. I think I said that earlier. So I know Florida, I am certainly retired firefighter. Folks were saying, man, I would love to meet a retired firefighter. He could be here. We could do yoga. Folks in Florida, if you can find a location, I would love to be in Florida, get some warm weather. We could do yoga on the beach. Folks in Florida, if you could find a Black-owned location, that would be great. If you can find, I said, you know, if someplace that's rural, I mean, let us know if you can find any locations. I'm biased to the West Coast, but let us know if you can find any locations. So I guess we'll get to the callers. The number, 641-715-3640. The code, 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I didn't have Wi-Fi access for the past couple days, so I was not able to get online to let folks know what was happening with the retreat and to get the information up. We didn't have the workplace racism program yesterday or the book club this past Thursday. I'd announced that before with the retreat and all, but we will be back to normal broadcast schedule next week, hoping that I get back to Seattle safely, as do all of our victims, participants here at the retreat. I'll double check any of the folks who are with us at the Nat Turner Library. Any other thoughts you would like to share before we move to the callers?
Gus, yeah, I would like to share when I guess I was stepping out or outside the box when I decided to come on the retreat. I thought to myself, you know, this is going to be scary hanging out in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of Black people. But I thought to myself, I was like, okay, you know, I went on a work training with a bunch of white people and with, you know, no qualms. So, yeah, it was exciting. I drove down with Tonda and first time meeting her. And like I said, I really don't pick up people I don't know. We FaceTime. We got to know each other. So, yeah, I kind of stepped up outside of my comfort zone with this retreat, and it was I loved it.
Oh, just real quick. I hope you weren't offended, Gus. That was kind of like a joke with the whole "what if Gus is a white guy?" Because I know you're not a white guy. You can use your brain and listen and know that. So, just hope you didn't take that offensively.
No problem, sir.
One thing that I would like to add is that one of the things that Gus noticed when we all started interacting with each other is that we all had the same type of conversation. So obviously workplace racism was not broadcast this week, but workplace racism did happen here. Now, what I will say along those lines is that one of the things that Gus says all the time is that, you know, people don't allow the gang, don't spectate, call in, tell people your stories. Me personally, because a couple people here are first-time callers into the cows, even though they've been listening for quite a while, and I imagine there's probably people who are listening right now who may have been listening for many, many years and still have not called in themselves. And to a certain degree, we talked about that, and for me personally, I understand that. You are worried that maybe someone might hear you talking about your workplace racism problems, even though you don't tell people that you call into the cows. So all the people who choose not to call in for whatever reason, we hope that you one day make the decision to go ahead and call in, because if your life is like any other Black person's on this planet, your story is not unique at all. And if you were here in this room over the last couple of days, you would easily have plenty to say and not enough time to say it. And I'll leave it at that.
This is just a very short comment. But for all the participants that are here at the retreat, we are even in terms of men and women. We have 6 men here, plus Gus, so that's 7, and 7 ladies here. Who would have thought? that who would have thought? Who would have thought that, you know, black women, of course, taking care of themselves. And then black men coming out, you know, going into the unknown when it comes to nutrition and going into the unknown when it comes to yoga. So that just goes to show you the balance among the listeners, that we're able to just randomly come together and there's balance among the genders.
That is all.
Great points. Workplace racism. Wow. That absolutely. That's something that will stand out for me as well. I don't think I asked. I don't think I prompted. That's something that I've said for the duration of the time that we have been on the air. When I talk to black people off the air, and again, totally unsolicited, within 5 minutes, it will be that cracker on my job. And I said, wow, workplace racism, that should be the chattiest program ever. Wow, this weekend, bold face print, underline, highlight, workplace. I think at times there were simultaneous conversations about workplace racism. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. So the number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Red in Nevada, much obliged for the assistance. Thank you kindly. Did you have questions you wanted to ask?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my call. I'm definitely very happy to hear, you know, that everyone seems to be having a good time. I know that was one of my concerns, helping out Gus. If anyone can think of anything to maybe improve this next yoga retreat that we've all been kind of talking about, definitely, you know, share, feel free. And it is actually really encouraging even to just hear everyone share their, you know, their stories about just, you know, working together. I think that was actually been helping me because I know I was feeling a little bit down, like being in Nevada and not being around as many black people as I was around back in Ohio. So I think even maybe other people around, it might even be encouraging to them to understand that, you know, you don't have to know someone all their life, a black person knows someone all their life, to be able to get along with them, which is, you know, we're taught to be really combative towards each other. That's all I'll share. Thank you. I'll meet my line.
Much obliged, Red. We'll nab, excuse me, nab other. Well, I guess, you know, this is not just questions about the retreat. Like, this is the compensatory call. And as I said, you all would kind of be responsible for letting us know about things that are of importance that happened over the week. We are aware of what happened with R. Kelly and Mr. Robert Kraft, so certainly you can talk about those things as well, but you can get your questions in also. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, proceed.
Happy birthday.
Greetings, Thomas in New York.
Greetings, Gus. It's Thomas in Florida.
Well, see, Florida. Florida. Find a location in Florida. We would have everybody we wanted there.
Oh, man. Well, you know, last year was a very stressful year for me. My mother, my grandmother, and my aunt relocated to Florida, and I vowed to myself, I was so angry at them that I would never come see them. You know, I was just so angry. I'm an only child, Gus, and you know, my mother got into a new relationship after my stepfather passed, and she decided that she was going to move to Florida, and my aunt already decided she was moving, and he took my grandmother, who was 92, with them. So in December, on her 93rd birthday, I called her to wish her happy birthday, and she said her only wish she had is that I'll come see her before she passes. So I said, you know, I got to go see her. I said, after the holidays. So they booked the tickets for me, and this was the time I was supposed to go, and it didn't start well. Actually, I'm very happy I came. Everything is very nice. I think it's a much better lifestyle for her than living in Jersey City, New Jersey, where she would be ducking gunshots and things of that nature. This is a very upgrade, real nice upgrade for her. And the guy my father, my mother's with is very nice. Their house is beautiful. And that goes to the racism. So they have a pool in their back. It's not indoor, it's an outdoor pool, but it's totally screened in. And they live on a golf course. They own the house, but they live on the golf course, right on the 8th hole. Actually, I'm standing on the 8th hole right now talking to you. The only thing separating their pool from the, their screened-in deck from the 8th hole is the little passageway that the golf course goes on. So me and the gentleman are speaking, not loud, but we're not whispering, just having a normal conversation, getting to know each other. And white group of people pull up on the golf course, and they say, hey, you guys keep it down over there. So they get hit the ball. He said, what? My mother's like, this is the first time this has ever happened. Look, so we just kept talking. We got louder, and they, of course, they didn't say too much. They shhed, but that was about it. But the audacity of white people. So either way, I was supposed to be here from Wednesday to Sunday. But in the luck of Thomas Smith, Wednesday, I'm walking out the door. My wife's like, don't forget your blood pressure medicine. So I said, yeah, I got that. She said, make sure you got your ID. I go in my pocket and I lost my state ID, which means I can't get on the plane without an ID. So totally missed my flight. Had to book a one-way the next day and get an ID from New Jersey. It was just a hassle. I live all the way in Harlem, but I have to keep my residency in New Jersey for financial reasons, of course. Either way. Terrible to start with. So hopefully I was planning to meet up with the firefighter. So hopefully tomorrow morning we can meet up and he can get me back so I can have enough time to see my grandmother before I leave, give her a kiss and everything like that. I did have some news to report on. Samsung dropped a new Galaxy phone. Beautiful phone, beautiful display. It uses an ultrasonic fingerprint scanner to unlock it, meaning that they're using sound waves to measure the distance, the ridges, between the ridges of your finger, your fingerprint. And that's how, when you touch it, it's able to open so fast, using sound waves. So in length, that's what they're saying, but I'm going to put it in a more metaphysical way. They're using your vibration or your aura to open the phone, which is biometrics technology that has been spoken about on a few compensatory call-ins, and it's just getting more and more sophisticated. And if they can do this with your fingerprint to unlock a phone, can they use those same sound waves to put your fingerprint on something? You are dealing with white supremacists here. Mr. Robert Kraft, hanging out with the rappers. We read the paper. Couldn't help but laugh when I first saw it. Let me tell you this. Using his white power influence to free rapper Meek Mills from prison, I turned on the NBA All-Star game, and he's at the NBA All-Star game with a big iced-out diamond chain that Meek Mills gave him that says champion, hanging out with the rappers and the ball players. All dressed up like them. I said, what the heck? So I said, man, white people ain't going to tolerate this from Robert Kraft. So it didn't shock me at all when the sex thing came out. I said, I knew it. He was breaking the code. They do not let you break the code. Hanging out with them niggas and stuff. You got a few $1 billion. What's wrong with you? We're in a nigga chain, either way, the NY Post had a full frontal page picture of Mr. Jussie Smollett and a caption under it in small bold print that said liar. The editorial page vilified him, compared him to Tawana Brawley,
and Crystal Mingham. If Smollett goes to jail, then I think Ronald T. Vitchie. Yeah, Ronald T. Vitchie should also go to jail. There's no statutes of limitation on murder. And he admitted to lying to the police in the murder that caused the death of John Crawford. And that's just what it is. He admitted to it on tape. I think Gus did very good work with that on the Cal's compensatory call and when it happened. Now in New York City, two young brothers decided they were going to rob a cell phone store. And they were going to use a toy gun to do it. Real bright idea. Cops come a lot faster than they thought. Cops see the toy gun, assume it's real. They come in shooting, of course. They hit the guy with the gun, toy gun, I think 8 times. They hit him multiple times. He survived. One of those shots hit an officer, killing him. They charged both of those brothers. They found the one who was the getaway looker, not even an hour later, and charged both of them with the murder of that cop. Even though he had a toy gun, neither of them had a real gun, and the cop killed him. They led to the cause of events that caused that murder. So that's just what I think about Mr. Vitchie. If Mr. Smollett has to go to jail for lying, I think that's an insult if Mr. Vitchie didn't have to go to jail. And I'll mute my line, guys. Thank you.
We did talk about the Smollett case briefly during the week as well. Very important. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary, questions, lines should be open again. You can ask about the retreat and or what has gone on the last 7 days. That is generally what would happen on the compensatory call-in. Others, if you have a hand up and we've not heard from you at all, proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, guys. Glad to hear everything is going well. I didn't hear the earlier part. I tuned in late. Did you play any of the news clips?
We did not. We devoted the first 75 minutes or so to just discussing what has happened at the retreat.
Okay. That's wonderful. Well, I'm feeling, you know, a little disheartened, a little more so than normal. I don't know if you probably didn't because you're there, but NPR played a really good follow-up segment to the housing disparities that are going on, specifically targeting Philadelphia. And man, I felt so heartbroken. I mean, I bought my house 20 years ago. I've already paid it off. I was very diligent in doing so. But to hear the issues, I mean, they followed a young black woman and a year and a half of looking. They just kept dangling the carrot, making it so much more difficult for her to get qualified. Yet and still, a white producer from the show bought a house around the corner, and she actually was interviewed and said, within 5 minutes of talking to the lender, they approved. Not only did they approve her with no hardly any money down, they were offering her $500,000, and she paid $5,000 down because of the program to get low-income buyers into the neighborhood. And she's white with a wife, and this other woman. I mean, trying and trying, and it wasn't until she added her white girlfriend to her application, who had an okay credit score but no good work history. She said the lender stopped even answering the black woman. She said the lender stopped answering her call and was answering the white girlfriend's calls eagerly and cheerfully. Even gave her a nickname. Her name was Mary and was calling her, "Hey, Mar." And it was so heartbreaking when they were talking about the banks and their lending practices and how, because of their show that they did a year ago, it changed, you know, called a lot of banks to the carpet. I mean, I think they said one bank, it was Chase Bank in Philadelphia, gave out like 750 loans And of the 750, only 11 were to Black families. And just how difficult it is. And it, I mean, if you get a chance, listen to it. It's a really, it's pretty long. I actually sat in my car when I got home so I could listen to the whole thing. And I'm, you know, I have three children. And I just keep thinking, this world, what are they going to be going into? And it's just heartbreaking. Long story short, she's in her house. And even though she's paying a lower dollar amount on, you know, loan, she has a lower loan than the NPR producer around the corner from her, she's paying hundreds of dollars. They didn't give an exact amount, but they said hundreds of dollars more on her mortgage because her bank required that she had mortgage insurance. So if you get a chance, check that out, just to hear the numbers and, like I said, a very lengthy, very detailed article. And on that, I'll mute my line.
Yes, ma'am. I will. I guess I didn't say what I normally say. This is the compensatory call-in as normal. If we could not use metaphors, that would be very much appreciated. Heartbreaking to the carpet. Those are metaphors. With regards to the segment, you said it was heartbreaking and very disheartening to hear. I think those type of segments, sometimes that's what they're designed for. To me, it's almost akin to the videos showing Black people being shot and killed, of just designed to show Black people in despair and being mistreated. That all of those statistics are not new. Like they have, I think I've been saying for some years on the program, that's one of the things that racists demonstrate extraordinary skill at, finding different schemes of stealing property from Black people. That's one of the reasons right there why the yoga retreat was moved from Tennessee to Virginia. White people stealing, attacking Black property owners. That is the entire history of white terrorism. And I think, at least my view, is that just understanding that's what it means to be white. That's what they've done for the entire history of racism, white supremacy, and that's what they'll do until we solve this problem. But I think Dr. Welsing, she did also often say, she was mentioned a lot over the retreat, be not discouraged. If that that information is devastating, that sort of insecurity where they do exactly what Mr. Fuller talked about. They keep those niggers on the move. Exactly. And that's what they'll continue to do until we solve this problem. So I hope that's part of the motivation. I hope that that sort of thing doesn't have us discouraged. I hope that has us motivated to say, yep, that's white people waging war against us. And I'm going to be motivated to solve this problem as soon as possible. Others that we have missed completely. If you have a hand up, if you have commentary to share, lines should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter in Florida. You were mentioned. They said, man, see, we could be doing yoga with retired firefighter. Spot in Florida, maybe. They said, in fact, they said specifically, they said, retired firefighter, that is a resourceful fella. I think he could find a spot down there where we could get 15 to 20 people in a Black-owned property. Let's see if he can help us find a Florida spot. That is your assignment, sir. Is that something you can work on in your, what they call, quote unquote, free time?
Yes. What comes to my mind is the property that I'm sitting in right now. One thing is going to have, a new roof on it. it can possibly fit 15 people. I'm kind of joking, but then again, it is possible that it can fit a number of people in the different rooms. What are y'all sleeping on? In the actual beds or some sort of other apparatus? Other than a quote unquote bed,
we have air mattresses and a
fold
out sofa.
Okay. Well, I mean, it just came to my mind, you know, the house that under the system of racist white supremacy that I'm allowed to have paid a mortgage on, for one thing. And then again, it's several other non-white black people that I know personally and have been knowing for about 25, 30 years, Mr. Clark being one of them, that we definitely can come up with something, that's for sure, to come right to Miami-Dade County. I was just thinking about hearing the reports from yourself and the other participants who was able to make it there on the lack of discontentment and or any type of problems or anything. It's probably because from indirect or direct filtering, constructive filtering that took place in the process. I'm thinking about it because I've probably have been a caller slash listener of the Kyle since its beginning that I can think of the whole 10 years. And if you can sit there and listen and pay attention and participate into something that we identify as racism and a functional form of white supremacy, that right there would eliminate a lot of people in the first place. If you just sit there and listen and participate, that's going to eliminate a lot of non-white people, unfortunately. And then from the standpoint of the different types of programming that you have laid out with the, you know, book reading, guests, the different types of guests, that's a filtering process. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised about there not being, and plus the environment. I'm pretty sure the area where everybody is at is a rural type of area, so it's not a whole lot of distractions. And you're probably, or what, about an hour away from an airport?
We are, I think it was 1 hour and 8 minutes from the airport.
Yeah, see, I had an experience with that when I went to college. That was my first time even leaving out of Miami-Dade County that I can recall. And you're talking about when you get to, let's say, undergraduate, when you get to the airport at Will Rogers Airport in Oklahoma City, it's 50 miles before you get to Langston, you know, to the college itself. And then what you have in that type of environment, you have a situation, you have a whole lot of young people, quote unquote, young people who are basically are talking about their future plans in a constructive manner. Why am I way out here? What I plan on doing, what I have to do in order to graduate. And this is a quote unquote historical black college atmosphere. I went to two of them. And so the content, the level of conflict is going to go down because you can be other, you can make other choices on where you want to be at. And so therefore something like that, you're making a choice to succeed into it. And I can see the same thing with the Kyle's retreat, you know, as far as they're concerned, am I making sense on what I'm saying on what I'm meaning? And hopefully I'm not, it's not a metaphor. What I'm talking about is filtering process that's going to have people in one spot that has a like mind intent in the way they're going to verbally and physically having be in contact with one another. So it epitomizes what counter racist interaction is supposed to be about. That's what I'm trying to say. And so it's actually an experiment that needs to continuously to happen, whether you're with another non-white person or by yourself. And so that's just my thoughts on that. Otherwise, Mr. Thomas stated that he's here in South Florida, and even when he first expressed it to me that he was going to make the trip down here, I thought about, you know, well, maybe a situation where we can meet, and I would take him on what I have labeled as a compensatory counter-racist tour of the South Florida area. I would start in the southernmost part of Miami-Dade County, or at least, well, close to southernmost part. Southernmost part would be Key West, which is a little bit too far for me, but it'd be somewhere just south of where I grew up at, and I would start from that area to north and go by certain sites and basically comment on what took place in this area and have the observing the people that are in the particular area in the present state, and then move on to the next significant area, that sort of thing. So he would have a, in a short period of time that we'd be in contact with one another, he would have a, the most comprehensive understanding based on a dummy like myself, as best as I can do. So he would have some sort of, understanding of the how the global system of racist white supremacy has made a impact on this part, this small part of the world. And that's my report. Thank you for listening.
Much obliged. We'll see if retired firefighter find us a location, perhaps even his own residence or someplace else. Florida might be possible. Definitely wouldn't be in the summertime. I'm no fan of Florida summers. Been there, done that, no thanks. But autumn, we could definitely see.
Well, I'll tell you, Gus, it is 80 degrees in South Florida right now. And from my understanding, it still is winter. So nowadays that can happen, you know, 80 degrees can come up anytime during the year. But nevertheless, you know, I mean, hopefully, if that's a deciding factor, I would definitely get on it. And I'm pretty sure with the people that I have in contact with, we can come up with something, an arrangement that would be accommodating for anybody who wants to come down here.
Right on. Well, check on that as we go. For Florida, I definitely would trade 80 degrees now for mud.
Oh, yeah.
Other folks who dialed in, if we've not heard from you at all, if you have commentary, proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Yeah, this is Ken Steele, and I'm broadcasting I guess joining you guys live from Los Angeles. I just wanted to say there were some really interesting discussions that went on in the area of discussion of politics. And recently, there's just been this push by, I guess, people in the Democratic Party to address this desire for reparations that's been made, I guess, more pronounced in this election cycle. People are asking for a black agenda in the political discussion. And I think at every time it gets addressed, even as explicitly as they can, as these politicians can do it, they find some way to I guess the word I'm going to use is finagle some other groups in there, or not address the problem of white supremacy at all. And the latest politician to try to address the desire for reparations has been Elizabeth Warren. And she says that she wants to form a, I guess, some sort of program where Title II of her proposed bill establishes a new fund within the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to be determined. This to-be-determined purse would provide down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers in communities that were once subject to redlining. And basically, they outline a program that sounds a lot like the loan program that was discussed on the program last week, whereby they assigned certain zones that were, I guess, once affected by blight or once determined to be distressed, and then basically developers found some way to take all of the money and do it for their benefit. This sounds like a national or a federal level program that's doing the same thing. And I'm just wondering how that would address reparations when in these areas that were subject to redlining, much of them have been gentrified already. So there are populations that didn't that haven't been in those areas for a long time anyway, and they would still be considered, distressed or low income if they're using, depending on what records that they're using. So I'm not impressed by the way that they finagled the word reparations into this discussion. And then on top of that, it says that Elizabeth Warren says that Native Americans should be part of the conversation on reparations. So I'm very distressed at the focus of, Black people, the people who are victims of racism, being properly addressed in any sort of discussion about reparations in politics in today's political climate. So I think that they're going to use the word reparations to try to trick Black people into voting for these candidates. And I don't think that reparations will seriously be addressed. I think that there's a group of people that are calling themselves ADOS that are bringing this conversation about. And I think it's very interesting how far that they've come along in the political discussion. However, I think there's just a lot of potential for the term ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves, to be co-opted by people who are classified as white. They can easily produce tests that will say, hey, you have an ancestor that was a Black slave as well, and you are technically 1/32th or 1/16th or some percentage of Black, and you are entitled to reparations as well. So I think that there needs to be more consideration, more thought put into exactly how do we address, who is being discussed here. And I think there needs to be consideration for the fact that who is being discussed are Black. And I think it also needs to be discussed is who is Black, because if we're going to go by American descendants of slaves, then there's just way too much room for white people to come in and make a claim as ancestry, as they have in the cases of Native Americans and some other cases that I'm not aware of. So, this claim of minority and everything like that. So I think that ADOS is a really good start to a conversation that needs to be had. And I think it needs to be refined a little bit more to seriously address the people who need to be repaired. I'll go ahead and mute my line.
Much obliged, Mr. Steele. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. My thoughts on reparations, and that can mean a lot of different things. Some people have specific definitions for specific sums of money. Other people would like resources made available. My view is replace white supremacy with justice. I could see a lot of different scenarios, and that confusion that you just talked about, that's exactly what I would expect from racists, where they could provide quote-unquote reparations in a variety of forms that do not solve the problem, whether they could give out $1 million to every other black person, to every black person. They could do it in a lot of different ways, and we could still have the system of racism, white supremacy. And then gloat that we've already done reparations. So I don't think that they, like everything else, I don't think they will do the correct thing. So I would, in my view, I think it's best to just focus on replace white supremacy with justice. But yeah, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, anyone, it would not surprise me at all anything that happens with conversations on reparations. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary to share, if we missed you at all, you should speak up.
Can't be heard.
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings to all the callers and the listeners. This is in Yame in Nebraska. I want to say congratulations on 10 years of the cows bringing constructive information to victims of racism, white supremacy. I was listening in the archives day before yesterday, an interview you had with the author of a book titled Hitler's Black Victims. And I remember at the end, you were discussing some of the trials you had doing the show with no computer, no phone, and you were even considering ending the show by a certain date if you couldn't, you know, get the resources you need to continue doing it. And I'm thinking, you know, that was quite a while ago, and it seems that, you know, that was taken care of, and you've been able to do a lot more constructive work, a lot of more of the interviews that I've been listening to in the archives. So, and now, you know, the yoga retreat with other attempted counter-racists. And I just hope to see, as long as the system of racism and white supremacy is going on, non-white people will have shows and other platforms like the cows to attempt to counter racism and bring about a system of justice. So I want to say again, congratulations, your hard work is appreciated. As far as the compensatory call-in specifically, I did share with you over Facebook earlier this week an article about a teacher, a white male teacher who's being accused of pulling out the braids of a non-white black 11-year-old female at the school over the students spraying perfume on each other in the bathroom. I guess the smell of the perfume was activating his allergies. I guess he forced the student out physically into the hallway, violently pushed her, and then tripped and fell is the story. And somewhere in there, he must have pulled out her braids, but she went and told her mother, and the mother seen she'd had bald spots in her hair. And come to find out, the mother had been a substitute teacher at this school, which is titled White Horse Middle School. And no one from the school called her or tried to provide medical attention to the young female. And of all places this happened was in Madison, Wisconsin. That's no surprise there. But being here in Nebraska, it makes me think of Malcolm X's quote that he says only a fool would allow his enemy to educate his children. And I try with my children to homeschool them as best as I can. I'm not sure how well that's going to work out because I have limited resources. But with incidents like this, and I've been raised here in Lincoln, Nebraska, most of my life, and I've been able to see how interactions with white people can lead to much confusion. And we battle it every day, you know, try to counter it every day in every little way. And I worry for my children, especially with incidents like this, where the teacher's on leave and they're investigating whether or not they may press charges. But, you know, there's a lot more things that the white people can do to us and our children. The mother is seeking compensation, possibly through a lawsuit. But the child, they say the child is very afraid to return to the school. So, today we held a African History Month observation to try to educate our people more about so-called Black history prior to the transatlantic slave trade. And today there was also happened to be a blizzard. So I heard retired firefighters say there was 80-degree weather in Florida. And in Virginia, you guys are dealing with a lot of rain and a lot of mud. Well, in Nebraska today, we got hit with a blizzard, about 6+ inches of snow in 2 hours. So it was raining a little bit when we went into the program. And when we left, snow was everywhere, ice everywhere. And I think it just stopped within the last hour. But, there were quite a few people who showed up, and we did our best to share constructive information. And when it was over, I was talking to one of the members of the organization that we're with, and we were saying if more people were as dedicated as these people were to get this information today to come through this blizzard, racism and white supremacy would have a major problem on its hand. And that's all I wanted to share. And I wanted to thank you for your hard work and your contributions, and I'll mute my line.
Much obliged. Thank you kindly, sir. I hope the broadcast continues to be worthy of your time and energy. Problem on its hand is a metaphor. For the folks listening at the retreat, there is banana nut bread. I think that was baked fresh. You can nab some as you are listening. That is so, I guess, ironic, humorous, that we just talked about at the retreat, R. Kelly, or not R. Kelly, but we just talked about Gus not having a phone earlier on in the program, not having a computer. And I guess saying that to emphasize not being a spectator with regards to racism, white supremacy, and trying to get out and make sure you do as much as you can towards solving the problem. So, yeah, I think that's super important. Other folks who dialed in, if you have comments, questions, folks that we missed completely. See, I think we nabbed the early folks, at least. Did we get through without any commentary on Mr. Robert Kraft and R. Kelly? I thought folks would certainly have quite a bit more to say about those two incidents. Did that not register for folks who were listening over the week?
Well, can I say something about that, Gus?
Yes, sir. Thomas in New York.
Yeah, it didn't shock me with R. Kelly. I know once white media villainizes you, they spend time and money to put out a 5-part, 6-part docuseries. They do that to destroy your credibility. And once they destroy your credibility, then they could come after you for anything regardless, because, public opinion of you is so tainted that they say they don't care. And they tried this with, they did this with Bill Cosby. Did they not the same tactic? Michael Jackson was able to get away somewhat, but he's dead now, but same tactic. When you don't do what they want you to do, especially, and like the trend is, once you become the owner of your masters, like R. Kelly did this year, they come after you. It doesn't feel. And anyone who's able to own their masters and live and not have them come after them, they work with them. That's the only way it works. And Gus, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because one thing more than anything, even learning about white supremacy and counter racist tactics and measures, what this show has taught me was patience. And I was a very impatient person, but if you could sit down and listen to a 3-hour show, you know, and patiently listen and pay attention, just the way you carry yourself and the way you ask questions is always been totally amazing to me. Especially my favorite is always when you have white guests. I mean, you do it the best. And you know, I just really think that from the bottom of my heart, I truly love you for that, because I practice the same tactics, counter racist tactics. It works in my relationship just as well. You know what I'm saying? Just to expect the worst sometimes. You know, you're dealing with black in America, you're trying to have black love. It just doesn't always work out, you know, always the best way, you know, and it works the same way it does. Workplace racism, just, you know, being able to deal with people of dominant society, as they say, much more effectively. And I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. Last thing I wanted to say is, yes, Mr. Firefighter is right. It's about 84 degrees. I'm out here by the poolside. When I left New York, it was snowing. So I'm very happy to be here right now. I'll mute my line.
Much obliged, Thomas in New York. I did make an error. Thomas in New York had mentioned Mr. Kraft and his theory that this was punishment for hanging with the Negro, Meek Mill, that, oh no, you're not going to be out doing that. There are consequences for violating the racist code of conduct. The caller at 3098. Did you have a commentary? You should be with us.
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for taking our call. I would like to amplify Thomas's comments as to helping me personally learn to grow and be more patient in my interaction with black people, specifically in Norway in general. Building a relation, I want to commend all the participants in the retreat right now. I really do wish I was able to go, but next time. On to some of the stuff. I wanted to make a callback. I think sometime maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, you had rhetorical question you had asked about Dr. Cornel West, and I actually remembered after the show he had appeared at Senator Bernie Sanders' think tank in Vermont, like in December, some late November, December. So that was his. That was his appearance, and it was covered by your BFF, Amy Goodman. So I want to add that. Again, amplifying from Mr. Thomas's comments, which I find fascinating, the New York Post with a contrast with the Smollett to Warner Boy and this man, as opposed to the Suffolk racers, who led false assaults, such as Susan Smith, Charles Smith, and Jesse Anderson, who fabricated horses. Cover up the actions that Nancy says later. These so-called black racial hoaxes have centered around harm to them as persons, the person, the black people as persons, as compared to the white liars who've caused harm to others or have harmed others. And then, like I said, while Mr. Smollett has been, dominating the news cycle, as they call it, not much coverage has been given to the other one. I don't know if you guys have been able to get the news about the Coast Guard officer, Christopher Hazan, led a mass arsenal and compiled a list of potential targets, and has been reported to have been influenced by Andrew Berrick. So, like I said, that's something else that, you know, again, I guess to be expected and to be paid attention to. And I want to offer a brief update to one of workplace racism that I called in and wrote in about. And I did follow the suggestion to questioning the suspect racist. And he said he would consider me for further overtime in the future. And subsequently, I've been invited to participate twice in the past week. So I was share those items.
Participate.
Thank you.
You've been everybody. Wait, hold on a second, sir. You said you've been invited to participate in overtime. That means you got overtime shifts?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Outstanding. Yes. Outstanding. I'm glad to hear it. We didn't have the workplace racism broadcast this week. Workplace racism was the theme at the 2019 yoga retreat. Workplace racism will be back next Friday. But if I remember that correctly, it was you were not getting overtime shifts. Just for listeners, you were not getting overtime shifts.
This service is provided in high def. Access code accepted. The recording has started.
New York, brother, you better get up and run. You know what I'm saying? That's usually a rat. So when I see someone,
Gus is New back. York may have their rats.
Gus is
but,
back. Much obliged.
Is Gus back?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Rats in New York. My goodness. I was saying before my line got disconnected, I was going to ask, well, I said number one, for people, if you could make sure you do not wait till the last moment. If you have questions or comments, we do have yoga that we are waiting to get to. I was going to ask the folks at the retreat a question, but still trying to nab folks that we've not heard from at all. Henry in Chicago, if you have comments here, Pamela Evans Harris. Chicago resident. She was mentioned at the retreat many times. She would have been with us at the retreat. I am certain. I do not like speaking for other people, but I am very sure Pam would have been with us if she was still here. Henry in Chicago, did you have commentary, sir?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right. Greetings, Gus. Greetings to all the callers and listeners. And also greetings to everybody at the retreat as well. I want to congratulate you on 10 years. I've only been listening to the cows for 3 years now. And I know, Gus, I might be wrong, but I know you said you weren't too sure if, you know, it would be congratulatory to have the show on for 10 years because the whole purpose of the show is to replace the system of white supremacy with justice. But I will say this, since listening to the show, I've also had a different perspective of looking at white supremacy in the sense of how it has affected, you know, my life, and also to how I can approach it in a codified way. I don't agree with everything, but most of the stuff that that has been talked about on the show, it's very constructive effort to replacing the system of white supremacy with justice. So I thank you for that because I've seen a lot. Listening to the show, I know a lot of things to look for. I think one of the things that on the show that really intrigued me was the book club. I'm an avid reader, and that's what kind of caught me onto the show is the book club and the choice of books that had been chosen, and the way you and the callers kind of break down the books in a way that I haven't seen. Some of the books I've already read. And,
the commentary on it and the careful, detailed textual criticism of the books being read is something very constructive. So that is all I had right now, Mimolai.
Much obliged, sir. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. The question I was going to ask the folks at the retreat, did anyone have to? Oh, and I could not neglect mentioning one of our participants brought the ISIS papers, Dr. Welsing, and the code book, Mr. Fuller, and the word guide. What can I say? So I was going to ask folks at the retreat, did anybody have to provide an explanation, justification to any friends, family members about your attendance at a plant-based yoga retreat in the boondocks of Virginia? Did anybody have to provide an explanation to family or friends as to why they were coming to such an event?
This is B.D. from Houston. So I didn't have an obligation or have to provide an explanation, but I did tell a friend of mine who is aware that I'm interested in solving this problem, someone who I try to talk constructively to about racism, that I was coming to a retreat where racism would be the main topic. And he wasn't that surprised, but he did give me a look as to what else are we going to talk about for the 3 or 4 days that I will be here, because, you know, racism, there's not enough in racism for it to last, the discussion to last for an entire weekend. And I think that's the sentiment that a lot of people, a lot of Black people have, that, you know, racism is an isolated event. It appears every now and again in certain areas, but it's not, they don't think of it from a systems perspective. So there wasn't a surprise that I would be attending something like this. As far as my mother or anyone else that's close to me is of concern, I didn't tell them that I was coming to a racism retreat. They have that type of opinion about racism, again, that it's not a big deal. Keep your head down, work hard, change your attitude, and, you know, the racism or the oppression will feel better. And they don't necessarily say those words, but they say words that are relative to that. My job, I just took vacation. In corporate America, at least where I work, it's almost against their code of conduct to ask a person why are they taking vacation, or why are they calling in sick if it's not excessive, at least. So again, I didn't have an obligation or have to provide an explanation to anyone. I did tell one person, and the reaction, he gave me the reaction that I thought that he would give.
I didn't have to provide an explanation to anyone either. This is Ms. Tian. I always talk about the cows and speak of Gus like he's my BFF. So everybody was like excited and was like, you get to meet Gus finally. So, yeah, I didn't have to provide any explanation.
For the most part, I did not have to provide an explanation, but I will say, before I knew I was coming to this retreat, I remember having a conversation with my sister about something that happened to me at work, and her response was, you focus too much on this racism that you need to focus on your career. And when I decided to take time off of work, at some point my manager asked me if I would be back at a certain time,
and asked me about where I was going. I simply said I was going out of town for personal reasons. I didn't feel a need to really explain what I was doing with my own personal time that I had earned. And one more thing I would add is I did, to a certain degree, tell my brother-in-law that we were coming to this retreat because he is a yoga instructor. Now, I will say this. He felt that, you know, when I shared with him the context of this yoga retreat, he felt that it was not a good retreat to go to because he felt the subject matter was inappropriate. He felt that if you are going to have a retreat in such a way, it should allow for racial healing and that white people and black people should both be able to get something out of it. Personally, I did not engage what he thought about the retreat. I merely listened to him and simply noted what he said. Personally, I am not interested in racial healing, but I didn't feel a need to tell him that either, and I'll leave it at that.
So I didn't have to do a whole lot of explaining. I told my family that I was coming out here to Virginia to the Cows Retreat. Mom thought it was nice. I thought it would be good for me to, since I'm involved with the Cows, I think it's an important program. Yeah, she thought it would be nice for me to come out and spend the time that I felt I should be spending my time. But she also was concerned just because white people are white people. White people kill black people. And that, seriously, you do have to be careful grouping up and knowing where you are. You have to be careful tracking, figuring out where white people are. Are they following you? All that sort of thing. But so she was concerned, but she was happy, you know, that I was going. And now that I'm here, she's expressed that she's happy that I'm happy, which is cool. My job, I'm a musician, along with other things, but I'm a musician, so my brother's a more talented musician than I am, so the gigs that I'm missing, he's covering for me, and since he's, like I said, he's a more talented musician, so nobody's upset. Yeah.
With me, my employers actually sponsored me to come to this retreat, which is, I know they're listening, so thank you. They sponsored me to come to this retreat because they believe that it would be something good for me to do, seeing as I'm from another country. And I told my family from home that I'd be doing this, and they're completely supportive of everything I usually do anyway. But with this, I was a bit, you know, I didn't know whether they would support me or not, but they were actually very supportive and understanding of what I'm doing. And they understand that this is my journey. So, yeah, it's been really good. Yeah. I think that's it.
Spectacular context of white supremacy. Draptomania, did you have commentary you wanted to share? You should be with us.
Hi, this is Draptomania. I just wanted to say hi to you and the guests, and I'm happy to hear that your retreat is a success. And hopefully you'll be able to have many more. Maybe in the foreseeable future, I might be able to attend something with you, you and the rest of the guests. I basically just called because I wanted to just give some information that I was researching some like audiobooks on YouTube, and you can actually, because you brought up the ICE escapers, and there's somebody that actually did the reading of the whole entire ICE papers books on book on YouTube. So if any of you or your guests is interested interested in listening to an audiobook of Isis Papers, you can find it on YouTube. And that's all I really wanted to share. I had some incidents with workplace, but I'll talk about that next week. And I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. And yeah, it's raining. It's very, very nasty where I'm at also. It's been raining like for like days now. But yeah, that's you know, what you're dealing with the whole 9 o'clock issue. I have to, that's what I have to go through every time I'm listening to your show. So yeah. And now you get the opportunity to see, you know, what us on the East Coast have to deal with, Gus. So that's all I have to share. Thank you.
It would not be at this time if Gus lived on the East Coast. Not at all. I'm not sure about Central, but definitely. Yeah, I'm not sure about Central either. Very different experience saying that this program comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern and actually experiencing this program coming on at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wow. Woo. Let's see. Red in Nevada, did you have, I guess, either things related to what happened this week or retreat-related questions?
I wanted to make a comment about Mr. Smollett. That was actually on, he was like one of the featured stories. So basically with the Las Vegas Sun or Las Vegas Review, I forgot, the Las Vegas newspaper. At the top of the paper, like right underneath the paper name, they'll feature like two different stories, and usually they'll have a picture of the person. And they had like his picture under like national news, which I thought was interesting. Like, why would that be national news? I forgot one of the Trump's administration people. They're going to be going to jail, so I thought that was interesting. Why he took president over someone in the Trump cabinet, basically, or what have you, going to jail. I know people have been mentioning weather. I think it was a couple of days last week. There have been snow in Las Vegas and like the surrounding areas, like Henderson and Elkhorn. So that was interesting. And so coming from Ohio, where we would have like, you know, at least a foot of snow and school would, you know, keep going, here in Las Vegas, there was barely enough snow to stick to the ground. It really didn't really even stick to the ground. And they were canceling like the after school programs. And then it snowed on Thursday. I forgot what day it snowed on Thursday. And then, they canceled school on Friday, and by the time Friday came, the snow had already melted. So you wouldn't even know that there was snow at all unless you were looking at like the mountain caps. You can barely see like some white mountain caps in the distance when they're usually like the brown or gray or whatever. That's all I have. Thank you for allowing me to share again.
Snow. They had a blizzard in Nebraska and snow in Las Vegas. Of all places, I'm just hoping that the weather will cooperate so that I can fly back safely. Everyone who is here in Drewryville at the Nat Turner Library will be able to fly and or drive back safely with no weather problems. Wow. And that's an excellent point about what becomes, quote unquote, national news, the situation with Justin Smollett. I think they were talking about felony time for him, as I thought before. And again, I think that'll be weaponized against black people, that every single black person is lying if they report some sort of charge that they have been abused, victimized in any sort of way, that, you know, this is another nigra not to be believed. If we have other folks, comments, questions, things that happened over the past week, or comments about the retreat, feel free. Oh, and even before I nab, the caller at 5997, it was background noise on your line. That was why I muted your line. Did you have anything else, a comment or question that you need to get in? It was just background noise with your line, ma'am.
Oh, okay. No. I muted it right away. So maybe because I had you on speaker in the car, that maybe that's what it was. But I muted you immediately. But But no, no, I thank you for the commentary you did give, though, regarding those statistics and those type of programming and what its intention is, because as you were saying that, I'm like, yeah, man, I did, you know, it worked on me today. I'll just say that, but I will definitely keep it in mind. And I did order the compensatory code book as a word guide this week, so I'm excited. I got my notification yesterday from PayPal that it's being shipped to me, so I am really excited to have that in hand and to be able to read it for myself and for my children. So thank you.
ProduceJustice.com. If you need word guide, code book, we have a copy of each here with us right now. ProduceJustice.com. If you need a copy of Mr. Fuller's work, reading is more important than watching television. That has been said a few times at the retreat over the past few days. And I will check out the NPR report, but it's just, Weiss, they have so many statistics on how they keep Black people from having quality housing. And it's not like this is a new thing. They have these sort of reports spanning decades, you know, just long, long periods of time where they, yep, we are doing an outstanding job of keeping these Negroes without a roof over their head. Caller in Florida. This is, it's almost like they're bragging, in my opinion. I think we've discussed this before over the years, that when they make these sort of reports, it's almost like they are congratulating themselves for a job well done. Things are working exactly as they should be on the plantation. The Negroes are homeless or about to be. And
really quick, too, that's,
yes, ma'am, go ahead.
They did mention, they did talk about extensively the gentrification and how that works. And I honestly, I didn't really understand how it works, because it's happening big time, or, you know, very much down here in South Florida in the predominantly Black areas. And I did not understand that they were lowering the interest and they were giving very, very low mortgages. And I did not know that. And they had one particular woman who said, you know, she makes enough money, she has her home, but it needs a lot of work. And they kind of, what they went through over, her windows are leaking, letting in cold air and rain. The circuit box is hanging on by a thread. The house needs so much work. And she has over $200,000 in equity in her home. And she just asked for a $30,000 home improvement loan, and she was denied. And they did, and I did notice that they really quickly dropped in a really quick segment where someone came in, I don't know who it was, but they were saying, and because her house will not be up to code by them not giving her the loan, then it'll tack on fines that she'll be unable to pay and ultimately losing her home. So that is exactly what it is intended to do. You are absolutely right. They said it right there in the program. And she, this is where a long-term resident will lose her home, and some white person will come in through gentrification and, you know, take it right for little or nothing. Lose her home. Absolute right. I'll mute my line.
Yes, ma'am. Florida again. See? Hanging on by a thread. That is a metaphor. But yeah, they are experts at varying ways of stealing property from Black people. They, as I said, in my view, it's like they are bragging about their skill at doing this when they make those types of reports. And again, let's make an effort to not allow that to siphon our motivation from solving the problem. Other folks, I'll look out for people that we missed totally. But if other folks, do you have other questions, comments you want to make sure we get in? Last, we have a little less than 30 minutes left in the broadcast. Any other comments, questions folks want to make sure they get in?
I did want to say one more, a couple more things, guys. The white LGBT and the neoliberal white media,
Lil Nas, all the blacks who came out and had a problem with believing Mr. Smollett's initial story, who had questioned it, you know, how dare you question him? And they wanted to make a point to make this about sex and not race. You know, they wanted to add in the sexual context that they called him the F word. Now this is all about race. Where's the white LGBT groups at? None of them are supporting him. This is how it always works. With the Herb Mr. Steele, I saw an interview with this white lady. It's not even important to tell you her name. She's running for president, and she wanted to give black people reparations. And she was being interviewed by a black person who I'm not a big fan of because they had negative things to say about Dr. Welsey, Miss Carnell, on Tone Talk on YouTube. And they let her get away with saying white people are ignorant, no question. They let her get away with saying this about class. And they also let her get away with separating herself, a white Jew, from white people. Like, you know, not us Jewish people, like MC Search did on your show, Gus. So I just thought that was very interesting. The talk about reparations, though, you know, I'm glad that the conversation is being had. I heard someone mention about the ADOS, the American Descendants of Slavery. I think they could just drop the DOS part. But I do think that all movements have identity, and people have to identify themselves. Unfortunately, us, you know, we call ourselves what someone else calls us. We haven't created identity for ourselves yet. So I'm happy that that's happening at least. I think that if they're looking for one of these politicians to run on a black agenda, then they might as well take the stance that I've taken, that they might as well just leave politics alone. That's never going to happen in America. And even if they did, they wouldn't have a chance of winning. So that's all I want to say, Gus. You guys enjoy your retreat. Hopefully the weather gets better for you.
Much obliged. Excuse me. Much obliged, good sir. One thing that I will say, and it's in the same spirit, really, as this broadcast, the compensatory call-in specifically, that I'm talking about. So many times over the past decade, I've heard victims of racism. That's how this broadcast specifically came about. Victims of racism saying, man, I don't have people to talk to. I'm not able to talk to family, friends about racism, white supremacy. They think that I'm crazy. Or tell me that it's not that big a deal, or focus on other things. Heard this, you know, so many times I can't even recall. That's how the compensatory call-in started. Similar notion went into the retreat, and that has been mentioned so many times. People saying that they just are not able to speak with other people about these ideas. Not even necessarily saying the cow specifically, but just counter-racism in general, racism, white supremacy. That has been grand to see. I think I have paused so many times over the past 3 days at seeing different groups of black people, victims of white supremacy, discussing the problem in a serious, constructive manner, at least in my view, happening, as I said, simultaneously, and people having the folks to share these ideas. Hugely important. I think I've said that for some time. I think it's important to have a metric, a gauge in terms of how you yourself determine whether or not you are being effective with regards to the work that you do discussing racism, white supremacy. I think for so many people saying that you don't have other black people to discuss racism with, that would seem like it should be part of the work, is being able to cultivate environments where black people, victims of racism, can discuss racism, white supremacy, because so many people around the world say that that is a problem. So that is something that I have been mindful of for quite some time, and trying to find environments, not just where racism is said, but racism, white supremacy is being discussed in a logical, accurate manner towards solving the problem. Very important. I hope we have been able to provide that, not on the context of white supremacy in total over the last decade, on the compensatory call-in specifically, and at the retreat here these last 3 days. I hope that that has been a part of the work we have been doing. Number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you have commentary. Other folks have thoughts, questions, suggestions. They want to make sure they submit last 20 minutes or so before we get ready to go do yoga.
Doing yoga on the East Coast, different climate, different temperature, do you feel a difference in your body doing it in even though I know it has been snowing in Seattle, but it's just a different atmosphere altogether. Is there any differences you notice with your breathing even?
Well, I've been teaching here, so it's different when you are instructing as opposed to just practicing. Some teachers, they practice the entire class. I do not do that. I'm not really practicing. I demonstrate a posture here or there, but for the most part, I'm just kind of watching you instruct, you cue, you assist. Since I'm not instructing whites and there are no whites in class, I have gleefully done the assists during class. That is one thing, because I talked about the assists during teacher training so much, and you know, Bill Cosby on my mind so much, and not wanting to do all that touching in class. The man not having a class full of black people. I've had just a totally different perspective on doing the adjustments and just trying to be compassionate and helpful, because sometimes it's just alignment for safety type things, but just totally different thought process. I think that more than anything, not the weather per se, or being on a different coast or the time zone change, but just doing yoga without white people, totally different experience. I've taken at this point, I mean, close to 1,000 yoga classes, and almost always I am the only black person in the class. I think probably 99.9% of the time, the only black male in the class. So it's a totally different experience. And as you heard earlier, we have about equal balance here, males and females. So to be in a class with about an equal number of black males and females, totally different experience in totally different vibration, if that resonates with folks listening. I do not generally om, or I do not om at all in yoga classes, for people who know what that is. And I have been doing that happily over the past few days. Totally different experience not having whites present, not necessarily being on a different coast. Any other comments, questions? Folks wanted to make sure they get in. The person.
Very last thing. I went to BAM.biz and I put in hope. This is where you find black owned products and black owned businesses in your neighborhood or in the area that white allow you residing. So, I couldn't find any hotels in Florida or New York. I already knew that Anchor, it's a shame. And you live in an area with the most black people and they own nothing, you know. But, I'm sure in Florida you could find something. Now, Gus, what about a reservation?
It would depend. It would depend on who on the property. Ultimately, it would be, would folks be willing to go to a so-called reservation? Would that be a place where folks would be willing to have a retreat at. Some of that was discussed as well. I didn't think of reservation, but some of that was discussed over the weekend as well. Alternatives and how people would feel about that if it was at a non-black, non-white owned establishment. And yeah, didn't seem as positive. The person 4362, did you have commentary?
Yes, I did. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to say good evening to everyone. I'm very glad that the yoga retreat is going well. I'd just like to thank you, Gus, and I didn't get the opportunity to thank Dr. Ruby Lathan, but yeah, I was recently, you guys, where you inspired me to go plant-based, and I've been doing that for the last 2 weeks. I was, at some point several years back, I was a vegan for about a year, but I was still consuming a lot of junk food. So, I definitely want to thank you and, yeah, Dr. Lathan as well. With the Jussie Smollett incident, I just have a suspicion, which I'm sure many others may have it too, that some white person that isn't in the news or that is invisible to all of us has something, may have encouraged him, or may have orchestrated everything themselves, or maybe really influenced him to do this, and then I guess maybe they deceived him, or they were being deceptive to him, and wound up getting him in trouble for whatever reason. And I'm not saying that Jussie Smollett is not capable of doing that all himself. Yeah, I'm sure he is. He could be. It's possible. But I just have a suspicion that some white person, some producer, some type of agent, somebody is in the back. Someone is who's that we don't know of is influencing him and had something to do with that whole situation. And that's all I have for right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Much obliged. I think that is super important to be mindful of. System of racism, white supremacy, usual suspects. And I mean, there's so much about this situation that is peculiar. Would not surprise me at all. I think that's just something that's always important to be mindful of. System of racism, white supremacy, the people who are most to blame are always classified as white. Other folks have other comments, questions they want to get in. We have about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. Do not wait till the last minute if you have any other comments, questions you would like to share before we conclude.
Gosh, this is the very, 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 very last time. I promise you this time. City with the most murders, the most unsolved murders in the black areas, that they could find these dudes in Nigeria in a couple of days. I mean, when they want to do something, they can get it done. I mean, that was, to me, what stood out to me most from this case. Forget about what he did, and of course, that's the importance of it, but I don't want to hear anything about unsolved murders in Chicago. I don't want to hear anything about video footage of Laquan McDaniels. And I heard that the cop that went to jail for Van Dyke, he got beat up in a prison in Connecticut, which I thought was counter-racism. Should be happening. You're in an all-black environment and you killed the black person. It should be beating you up. But either way,
I just feel like I don't want to hear anything about that in any major city. If they could find these dudes in a matter of days, and they can't solve over 60% of the murders in Chicago, then that's not excusable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. That said, after reviewing some of the details of the case, especially reviewing the account of the situation by Chicago Police Department, this particular crime, however, was committed very sloppily, and it was very, very easy for them to track down every single move that the alleged perpetrators made in this instance. So, it isn't really a credit to the Chicago Police Department. The sloppiness of this crime is pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable, especially the fact that a check was allegedly written for this crime to have taken place. So, I don't know how many crimes other than check fraud that you would write out a check to in the process of committing. It's pretty baffling to me that that this whole situation was allowed to go this far. I would think that the people participating in it would think that police involvement would jeopardize them greatly. So I suspect that that these people were instructed to go along a path that could draw them to this conclusion, not necessarily directly this conclusion, but could draw them to this course of action. And I think that this case is a lot more sensitive and a lot more serious than it seems initially. I'll go ahead and mute my line.
Much obliged, Mr. Steele. The cows. I guess the two comments that I would make about that: one, I had a listener. She's not even in the United States. Be in Toronto. She emailed me this very week. The article that was mentioned before, admonishing black males for not being more vocal about this case when it was thought that this was legit, and now that they're investigating Mr. Smollett for, perhaps fabricating all of this. And she said, wow, again, black males, black misandry. Talked about that at the retreat. Dr. Tommy Curry, that no good black male, once again, being targeted. She was talking about that, and she said that he should be taken to task to come out and write a response article. I came out and made all these accusations against a black male, and it turns out that this report is totally false. Like, sorry about that. Didn't mean to further target black males, but I'm not sure we will get that retraction. That was one. Two, I also wanted to make sure, Henry in Chicago, I was applauding. I was listening, hearing about your, return to making an effort to be plant-based. That is absolutely phenomenal. I'm so happy to hear that. It's so important what we are eating. Just in terms of your health, your ability to think. As I said, we've been talking about that a lot over the weekend, and just the difference you feel when you are putting healthful items in your body as opposed to just eating trash and poison, and how you feel, how you think when you're not taking care of yourself. So I am elated to hear that. I echo what was said here at the retreat. View that as protest, view that as counter racism. That's been the whole spirit of the retreat. This is in accordance with solving the problem. I know Pam and I literally talked about that. Black people being plant-based and eating better, taking better care of ourselves. Dr. Welsing talked about that, not compensating with all the just horrible food because we're being terrorized, and to try to be as healthy as we can in order to solve the problem. So I'm elated to hear that. Let us know. In fact, one of our participants here at the retreat, we took some time to look at the delicious meals being prepared and got tips on how you can make some of these healthful veggie recipes. And he said that he was going to cook up one of the recipes, make a video, in fact, not being a spectator, make a video. I could post it on my blog. And in fact, anybody at the retreat, if you make any of the dishes that we tried at the retreat, any of the recipes, if you try them, make a video. If you take any pictures of the finished product, I will put it on my blog. Encourage other Black people to try to eat more vegetables, take better care of themselves. Not being a spectator, view this as essential counter-racism, eating correctly, taking better care of ourselves.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm also, I've been a vegan for almost 3 years now, and it does make you feel, a whole lot better. I feel a whole lot better. My health, health-wise, and it is like I like that whole perspective about by me taking care of myself, because white supremacy, they kill us with the food, this stuff that's not food. So by taking care of ourselves, that's one way that we can counter racism by eating healthily. And also, I was saw something about Jesse Smollett. And Charles Barkley was saying something about how he has his life has hurt the Black LGBT cause. That's just out on the websites now on Bing. So they've been talking about that. And like Thomas said, it does sound like something is strange going on, because they were able to find these brothers from, these Black guys from Nigeria that was supposedly, that he was supposed to had accused of doing this to them. But yeah, still, Thomas said, you can't, they can't even find the killers of Biggie and Tupac, but they can find these guys, so, and all these other murders and things like that that have been occurring with Black folks, but they can't find out. So it just seems like you said, it's like the usual suspects. Somebody else is behind it. Somebody else put him up to it. And now that they used him, now, he's being used. It's even now, it's like, it's not only Black misandria, now it's even with the LGBT movement. They're basically ousting him also. So he has no support on any ends. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I was reading something about Fox, the show that he plays on or whatever. I think they're kind of trying to, distance themselves from him also. And that's all I wanted to share.
System of racism. White supremacy. He is still a victim, in my opinion. We are, I guess, getting ready to go do yoga. Wow, I can only say again, this is the first time the Cows has ever aired live on the East Coast. Wow, if I lived on the East Coast, the compensatory call-in would not broadcast at 9 p.m. Eastern. Woo! With that, we will get ready to go and have fun with some yoga, hopefully very restorative, so we can get ready to rest up and be ready for the broadcast. We should be back to the normal broadcast schedule this coming week. That means the book club on Thursday, Workplace Racism on Friday. You can check Black Talk Radio Network, the Facebook page for comments, questions, or guest suggestions, and then future broadcasts for the coming week. Again, you can drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com if you have questions, thoughts, guest suggestions. With that, wow, it has been spectacular being at the retreat for the past 3 days. Hopefully we'll see if we're able to do one again. We'll pick out a location and all that good stuff somewhere down the road if folks think it would be worthy of their time and energy. Thank you to all the folks who came out to the retreat, participated in the conversation tonight. It has been amazing the past few days, and we still have yoga this evening and tomorrow. For folks listening in, much obliged for sharing a bit of your Saturday evening. I hope listening in has been worthy of your time and energy as well. With that, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. That has been said so many times over the past 3 days. Racists have done a lot by poisoning us, taking advantage of us not being able to think at our best. Dr. Welsing definitely would co-sign on that one. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up each and every time we are in a vehicle, passenger or driver. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.